Hi, I'm Enzo Fittipaldi, and you guys are listening to F1 Weekly.
There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go. Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is a special podcast, number 883, April 30th. 2021. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. My great thanks and obrigado to Enzo Fittipaldi. He is the grandson of two-time world champion, and this conversation took place at St. Petersburg during the IndyCar race weekend here. He is racing for an Italian team, RP Motorsports, in the Indy Pro 2000 series. He was previously part of the Ferrari Driver Academy, won the Italian Formula 4 Championship. So he's a good racing talent, continuing a great tradition of Fittipaldi name in motor racing, which is very important. And I'm extremely thankful for his time. And he was also very kind to me when we first met at the preseason testing at Sebring a couple of months ago. So please enjoy this conversation, and we'll continue to report on Enzo's progress during the season and beyond. Thank you.
Okay, folks, I'm here with Fittipaldi, Enzo Fittipaldi. Enzo, good to see you. How are you today after what happened yesterday?
I'm good. I'm a bit shaken up after the accident. It was a pretty big hit. Definitely one of the biggest crashes I've ever had in my career. We're here at St. Pete, and it was during qualifying. There was a slow car coming out of the pits, and I didn't see him, and he came up, was on the racing line extremely slow with new tires, and I think he didn't see me coming and slowed down a lot, and there wasn't much time to react, and got airborne and flipped on the catch fence. And yeah, it was not a good experience. Unfortunately, the car cannot get repaired since it was a very big damage. Just the only thing that survived was the chassis. So I won't be racing this weekend here at St. Pete, but we're going to come back stronger for the next round, which is in Indianapolis.
Interesting. Well, sitting here in front of planes, and you went airborne yesterday. You're okay? Everything okay, I hope?
Everything's okay. I had a bit of bruise on my finger and my foot. But everything else is fine. It's going to heal up. The doctor said in a week I'll be okay. And they cleared me to race this weekend, but the car wasn't able to get ready. So
now, things happen very quickly in a race car. When something like that happens and you go airborne, do you have time to think or react, or what goes through a driver's mind?
Well, it was the first time I ever flipped in my whole career in karting, and I had never gone upside down. So for me, I didn't really know what happened until I landed, because everything happened so fast, especially when you're going at that speed in a street circuit. It was a flat out corner where, I don't know, I was nearly, I think, almost 200 kilometers an hour when I went airborne. So yeah, I was extremely lucky to walk out just with a bit of a bruise on my hand and my foot, and I'm thank God that nothing else worse that happened to me. So yeah, it was a bit shocking, and I'm more motivated and hungry to go back in the car than ever. So I'm just very disappointed, because we're looking strong for this race weekend. So I'm going to lose a lot of points in the championship by missing two races. but I think we will be able to bounce back.
Great. Now, when you say going back, so you're going back to Indy Pro Series. How was your first weekend at Barber Motorsports Park? It was my first time there. What a great place. Your thoughts on that track and the first weekend?
Yeah, so the track is it's a great track. I really enjoyed it. They have a new... So they have new asphalt. So it's brand new. So the track is extremely smooth. We had not the best race weekend. We struggled with pace. We were around 5-6 tenths off the front runners in qualifying. And my teammate, me and my teammate were within half a tenth from each other. So, yeah, we were struggling that weekend. I think there's a lot of things that come to this, and we're still working on it to improve. I'm working on my driving to perfect as much as possible and focus just on my driving, and the team is doing their job to improve the car, which needs improvement at this moment. So after St. Pete, we'll have 2 weeks that we'll be able to sit down and, you know, just speak about what we can do or any ideas we can do to improve the cars and just make it go faster.
Talking of teammate, how is your working relationship with your teammate? Obviously, your teammate is the first driver you want to beat. Do you guys share data, help each other out, or it's each person to himself?
I think we're at a position where we're both struggling. So we don't really... I think if we were fighting for the championship or winning, and yeah, it would be a bit more tension, but now we're just... I think we are working together to make this car go faster. So there's no reason to be hiding data or anything like this. We're teammates, and at the end of the day, we want to be fighting on track and beat each other on track. But off track, we want to be the best team, and we want to be winning races. So we're working to that. Yes, we are a one step behind from the other team, since the team we're racing for did not race last year because of COVID. So we are a step behind, and we're trying to recover from that step. And I think when we summarize everything in the next few weeks, we get my feedback, my teammates' feedback to the engineers, we'll be able to come with a good solution for Indianapolis.
Now, at Barber, Max Pappas was also there with your team and talking to you. Is he giving you some advice or guidance?
Yeah, so Max is my uncle, not blood, but he's my uncle because he's married to my mom's sister. So, yeah, he's great. He gives a lot of great advice, and he was just there. He's the IndyCar steward, and since we're in the same race weekend, he saw that I was struggling, and we were struggling, and he just came to see what was going on, and maybe if his past experience could give us some, be passing some good advice to see if it could help. And yeah, we tried, and we took in that advice, and from my brother as well, and from many people. But our focus now is just getting those cars to go faster, and we will be hopefully fighting at the top in Indianapolis.
This year you will also experience single-seater oval racing. How do you look forward to that and prepare for that kind of racing?
I'm extremely excited. I love ovals. I did oval racing whenever I was like 12, 13 years old. I did some legend cars and bandoleros. I won the championship in North Carolina at Charlotte Motor Speedway and the short ovals. So I do have some experience in ovals. So I'm extremely excited to hit the track, and especially with an open wheel car around an oval. I've heard it's amazing from my brother as well. It's pure adrenaline. So we'll be racing on a short oval, which is Lucas Oil, and then kind of like a super speedway for us, which is Gateway, which is a short oval for IndyCar. But since our cars are our smaller, Gateway is our mini super speedway. So I'm extremely excited, and I'm looking forward to it.
You have raced in English, Italian, German, and American championships. Is winning any easier in any particular market?
I think both approach. I think USA, the Junior Series in US, and the Junior Series in Europe, the competition is very similar. The top eight are always very strong drivers, and yeah, I don't see it coming from Europe and to the US. The competition, in my opinion, is almost the same. I don't see much difference. I heard a lot of people saying, yeah, Europe is more competitive and things like this, and my opinion is that they're very equal and very strong drivers from both sides. And yeah, it's great. It's a great field. Very competitive in Indy Pro this year. So yeah, I mean, last year in FIA F3, I was towards the end of the year, we were fighting in the top five, fighting for a win, and Monza finished top five both races in Mugello in the last race of the year. And Indy Pro is just as hard, so it's extremely competitive, and that's what I like. That's what I love. I love the challenge, and I'm really excited for the rest of the season.
You raced Formula 4 cars in Europe. What were the high points for you there?
So I won the Italian Formula 4 Championship in 2018, finished third in the German Formula 4, and the year after I was vice champion in the Formula Regional, which is now the Alpine Series. And then last year in FIA F3, we were struggling with the team till middle of season, and then we figured some things out, and we were fighting for top 10, top 5, almost every race. We were a bit unfortunate, and I ended up, I think, 15th in the championship, which I think we could have been easily top 10 if I didn't have a few. If I would have won the race in Monza, which I got a puncture, and this and that, it is just the past, you know. Now I look into the future. You can only learn from the past and prepare for the future. So now I'm focused on my next races and going race by race and seeing where I can improve as a driver and as a person.
Have you ever employed a driver coach?
No, never. Never. I've never, to be honest, my brother has been there for me always, and since he's 5 years older than me, he always passed on all his experience to me. But there was no, I never had a driver coach.
Have you ever called long distance grandpa and asked for his advice?
Oh, of course. I always, now we he's now in Europe and it's difficult. He has his son that's racing as well, so it's very extremely busy. But yeah, he's always giving me a lot of tips and this and that, but the one that's always helped me the most is my dad. Without my dad, I wouldn't be where I am today. All the sacrifice he did for me and my brother to be racing today, and just to be where I am today, I'm extremely fortunate and very amazing opportunity I'm having this year in Indy Pro, and I'm going to make my best to continue moving up the ladder, and hopefully one day my dream is to, you know, to make it to IndyCar and be champion and make it to Formula One as well and be champion. And I think it's the most important thing is to never give up and always continue going after your dreams, because the opportunity will show up one day.
Yes. You were in the Ferrari Driver Academy till recently. Tell us how that deal came together.
So the Ferrari Driver Academy, I was a Ferrari junior for 4 years. So basically all the years that I raced in the junior categories in Europe, I was with Ferrari, and it was amazing. It was a great opportunity. I learned so much, and I'm very thankful for them. I have a great relationship with them till today. Unfortunately, we switched paths since COVID hit. It was extremely difficult with sponsorship and the financial part. So basically in Europe we said, look, it's extremely difficult to continue. It's really expensive. So we looked at opportunities in the US, and since I came to the US, I can no longer, since Ferrari Driver Academy only supports the junior series in Europe, we split ways, and we ended off very well together. I have a, like I said, I have a great relationship with them. and yeah, you said, how did it come together, right? So in 2016, I did my first ever time in, I did this Formula 4 race in Mexico. I got an invite, and it was my first time in a single-seater car. I ended up doing extremely well. And from there, I met the people from Ferrari, and they said, look, there's a camp we're doing to evaluate the drivers we're going to get for next year to join the junior program from Ferrari. And they invited me to go. They saw that I was a strong driver, and I went, and I did the 3 days there. There was five drivers, and at the end they chose me and a New Zealand driver, Marcus Armstrong. And yeah, and from then I did the test there. We did 3 days mental training, simulator, and 1 day at the track of Fiorano. And it was great, and they saw a lot of potential in me, and they ended up choosing me and Marcus, and that's where the whole journey started.
Marcus and another kid in the Ferrari Academy, Russian Robert Schwartzman, how would you rate them?
I think they're both really good drivers. I was teammates with Marcus in Formula 4, and they're both very, very good drivers, and I wish them the best in their careers, and I hope to race them. Well, Marcus, I never raced against Robert, but I hope to race them again in the top series soon in the future.
You mentioned earlier Mexico. I see Claro sponsorship on your car, which is part of the Carlos Slim empire. Did you call them, or did they call you?
No, so the partnership was, they've always supported basically my brother whenever he went into the junior series, and then they started supporting me as well, Claro Brasil, and it's been amazing. I mean, their support is great, and I really appreciate it. It's an honor for me to be with them, and yeah, we're now on my third or fourth year with Claro, and yeah, and I'm looking forward to the future to get many great results with them and continue as well. Also wanted to thank all my other sponsors, Baterias Moura, PLGG, XP Investments, all the other sponsors that supported me since the beginning. So yeah, I'm going to continue working extremely hard to make my dream come true and make it to the top.
Your brother Pietro is racing in European Le Mans Series. Who is a faster and better driver, Pietro or Enzo Fittipaldi?
Well, who's faster? So I think it's difficult to answer that since we've never really raced against each other. So he's 5 years older than me. I think I'm faster, but if you ask him that question, he's gonna say that he's faster. So like it's not a difficult question, it's just my opinion is that I'm faster.
Okay.
And I'm sure that if you ask him that, his opinion is he's faster, so it doesn't really matter. I think we'll only be able to see one day when we race against each other, and maybe let's say we're in the same team in Formula 1 or in IndyCar, and we are able to compete against each other, and I'm really looking forward to that day.
So for now, we have a draw. Okay, Pietro did a couple of Formula 1 races last year. What did he say about that experience in driving a Formula 1 car?
He said it was amazing. He had already done many test days with Haas in 2018, 2019, so he already knew the car. But basically that year, when he jumped in the Formula 1 car, he didn't drive anything for almost 10 months. He didn't sit in any car. So basically he sat his first time after 10 months without driving straight into an FP1 in Bahrain. And he was on it. I mean, for him to be that long without driving, he did an amazing job. I mean, the team was impressed. I was impressed personally. He did really, really good. I personally don't think in that position that he was in, you could have done much more. You know, Haas, we're struggling that year with pace, and this year I think they'll be a bit stronger. But yeah, I think my brother did an amazing job, and I'm so happy that Haas F1 gave him that opportunity. But yeah, it was amazing, even in Abu Dhabi when my brother did qualifying and his first new set, he was only half a tenth off Magnussen, and then he couldn't do his second set because I think Latifi spun in front of him, but he still only ended up 2/10 off Magnussen, which is Abu Dhabi is a track of 17 corners, so he did a great job, you know, for jumping in and being right there with his teammate on it, with a teammate that's been in Formula One for 6 years and knows that car extremely well. I think he did a really good job, and yeah, I was impressed, and I'm so happy he was able to get that opportunity, and I think he deserves to be there. So yeah.
Now, a few years ago, Pietro had a bad accident at Spa, broke his legs. Around that time, was there any pressure from your family, especially from your mom, that you guys quit racing?
No, not at all. I think my brother was more than ever more hungry to come back to the car. You know, it's really hard as a driver to not be able to drive, you know, because I remember at that time my brother was only thinking about racing. Even after the crash, he wanted to get back to the gym, train, get his legs working and back to condition as soon as possible so he can go racing again, you know, because at that moment, that was the year after he won his World Series championship, and it was a big, it wasn't great because it was in a difficult time. It was a great time in his career, and then this happened. There was a big pause in his career, you know, but he was able to come back. He was with broken legs. He came back 2 months after and drove his first race in IndyCar. He was supposed to do the Indy 500, but he missed out because of his legs, and he came back 2 months later. I remember he would use this carbon fiber thing that would go around one of his legs, that whenever he would break, the force would go to his knee and not his like ankle. So it was amazing, and he was able to get a top 10 finish in IndyCar with the situation he had with his legs, which he did a great job. And then for him to get that opportunity in Formula One and things like this, it was great. And I'm sure we're going to be seeing him again in the Formula One grid very soon. Yeah, hopefully.
That's pretty strong determination. I appreciate that. Okay, now you have a legendary surname, and I'm sure it helps in opening doors. But does it also add additional and unnecessary pressure on a young talent like you?
No, I think there's the positives and the negatives. But from my whole career and things like this up until now, you know, I've learned so much, and to deal with that, I've already figured it out, and it doesn't really put any pressure. If not, it's only positive, and yeah, it's always great support from everyone from Brazil that supports us. But no, to be honest, there's no really pressure. Like, the only pressure I have is the pressure I put on myself to go faster, and I have that hunger to win. I love winning. I mean, who doesn't love winning? So I want to win, and I will do anything to win. So a lot of the most preparation I can do off track. So I try and work as hard as possible, like every other driver, you know. They want to be at the top, and pressure is always good. I mean, it makes you push even more, and you have to learn. I've learned how to turn bad pressure into something good, you know what I mean? It's sometimes whenever I was younger, yeah, there was sometimes a pressure. It was difficult. But through these years with Ferrari, with the mental training, things like this, I've learned so much to be able to deal with this pressure and to transform that pressure into a positive pressure. You know, like a positive extra motivation.
Yeah.
And I'm very looking forward to what the future brings for me. But for now, I'm focused on my job this year. We did the 2 race weekends till now. We're not great, but I know we have the speed. We just have to figure out some things, and I think we'll be I know we'll be fighting at the top very soon.
Okay. I understand your grandpa took off on his private jet during the 1989 San Francisco earthquake, and I lived through that because I was living in that area at that time. Interesting story. Please tell our listeners about that.
Yeah, so I have been told down this story from my mom, because my mom was there when my grandfather was having the race in IndyCar. I forgot where it was. I don't know if it was in
Laguna Seca.
Laguna Seca, yeah. And I remember they were leaving the track, and what my mom told me was they were in the car with my grandfather, and they were like at a traffic light, and the traffic light started shaking, and he didn't know what it was, and then people around them started screaming earthquake, earthquake, and my grandfather had his private jet at the time at the airport, which was waiting for him there, and he's like, everyone was screaming earthquake, and you know, it was a really big earthquake. What he did was he went as fast as possible as he could to the airport. They were only like 3 minutes away from the airport, and when he was driving, the whole car was shaking, and my mom was extremely scared. And then they got the car. They left the car outside the airport. They jumped out, got the bags, and whenever he was going through the airport, you know how there's the sliding doors.
Mm-hmm.
My mom told me that the sliding doors were like crooked, and there was smoke coming out, and basically they ran as quick as possible, and they went straight to my grandfather's plane. And the pilot was like, "No, we cannot take off. We cannot take off." My grandfather was like, "No, go, go, go. Take off, take off. We have to go, we have to go." And when my grandfather and my mom was there, and they were taking off, and as they were taking off, my grandfather and my mom told me that they saw cracks on the the runway of the airplanes, and they were able to take off. And then they saw the whole of San Francisco on fire, and it was just a disaster. My mom was telling me, and yeah, it was my mom, I think at the time was around 13 years old, and yeah, I must have, she was extremely scared, and she remembers it extremely well. It's a pretty crazy story, but yeah.
Yes, thanks for sharing. Okay, now Senior Nelson Piquet Senior is another great world champion from Brazil. Please tell our listeners what he told you in Italy about race preparation.
Nelson, I went to eat dinner with him many times in Europe, because he had his son Pedro. They would use the simulator that was in front of my apartment. So many times we would go to dinner, and he was great, you know, because he's a legend. And I just took as much advice as I could from him. He would say some unbelievable stories that I had no idea about, and he's just a great person, extremely very nice, very down to earth, and the advice is
Me something about what he would do with the tires.
He told me this story it was, I think it was in Snederdin, that whenever he was racing, I can't remember what it was, Formula 3 or something like this, that for the races, it was extremely cold at the time whenever they were racing, like 2-3 degrees. So whenever they would go out, tires would take a really long time to heat up. And what I heard that what he would do was that he would put the car in a 10, and he would get these heaters, and he would leave the heaters on the tires for, I don't know, 1-2 hours before the race. So whenever he would go out, his tires would be much warmer than everyone else. So he would win, and he won the race by, I don't know, one lap. He was one lap ahead of everyone because it was extremely cold. And just the idea he had, you know, is just genius. Not only driving, but the way he can set up a car and things like this. He knows every single part of the car, like every single part of an engine, every single part of the chassis, every little thing he knows. What that is, he knows what that does, and he knows how to repair it. So yeah, he is a genius on and off the track, you know. He's really unbelievable, and I'm so amazing that I was able to have a dinner with him and a couple times and speak, and hopefully I'll be able to see him. He had invited me to go to Brazil to go visit him, and I'm very good friends with Nelsinho Piquet Jr. He's like a big brother to me, and I hope to be able to see them very soon.
Okay, I greatly appreciate your time. How about a message to our listeners? Tell them about your social media, where they can follow you.
So you guys can follow me on Instagram, Twitter. It's just Enzo Fitti. And we also have a Twitch channel called Fittipaldi Brothers, where we do the broadcast of our races of the Indy Pro and USF 2000. So if you guys want to watch the races, we do the broadcast as live with images on our Twitch channel, Fittipaldi Brothers. So you'll be able to see me and my teammate Inam race, and hopefully fighting for wins soon. And I just wanted to thank everyone that's listening, and I send everyone a very big hug, and I hope everyone is doing well. And thank you all for the support. I really appreciate it.
Obrigado, muchachos.
De nada. Thank you.
Enzo, thanks for joining F1Weekly.com. I want to thank everybody who listened. Good night.
Bye-bye. Thank you.